Welcome to the Shir and Targum Parshas Achrimos. Last night we saw a difference of opinion between the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel and the Targum Unkelos as to how to translate the Pasuk in the Parshas O'Arayos in Perek Yud Ches that discusses the various prohibited relationships, and we saw that two very, very different ways of understanding the same Pasuk. We talked at length about how the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel in particular seems to run afoul, it seems to run counter to an explicit Mishnah Maseches Megillah, and how to make that work. Tonight I wanted to focus on another debate between the Targum Unkelos and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel regarding how to translate a Pasuk in the Parshas O'Arayos and Perek Yud Ches. It's not quite as drastic as what we spoke about last night. Again, it doesn't involve a contradiction to an explicit Mishnah. But nonetheless, it raises a bunch of important points. So one of the arayos, one of the prohibited relationships that's discussed in Perek Yud Ches, is in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ervas isha uvita lo segale. You should not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Esbas bino, v'esbas bito, lo sikach legalos ervasa. You should not marry the daughter of her son, or the daughter of her daughter, to uncover their nakedness. In other words, the way Chazal understand the Pasuk, you're not allowed to marry a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter, and that applies whether the two women, the mother and the daughter, or the mother and the granddaughter, are married to the same man concurrently, right? In other words, at the same time. According to Torah law, a man can be married to more than one woman at the same time. So he's not allowed to be married concurrently to a woman and her daughter or her granddaughter. It also applies, according to Chazal, if the marriage is not concurrent. In other words, he marries a woman. For whatever reason, he stops being married to her, either through death or divorce. And then he wants to marry the woman's daughter or the woman's granddaughter. In other words, he's not married to the two women at the same time. Nonetheless, the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a woman and then afterwards her daughter, the same way that you're not allowed to marry a woman and her daughter at the same time. Okay, so that's one of the arayos as described here in the Pasuk. And then the Pasuk concludes with four words, which are really going to be the focus of what we're going to talk about tonight. Sha'ara heina zima hi. They are sha'ara, it is zima. So we have to define those two words, sha'ara and zima. What do those two words mean? So with regard to the word sha'ara, there we don't find the machlokas between the Unkelos and the Yonasan ben Uziel. The Unkelos translates the word sha'ara as koriven inun. They are relatives, right? As the pasuk says at the beginning of the Parshas Ha'arayos, ish al kol she'er besara lo sikrivu legalos erva. She'er has the connotation of someone who is close, someone who's a relative. So sha'ara heina, they are relatives, meaning you're not allowed to marry a woman and her daughter because they are relatives. They are closely related to one another. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel similarly translates the phrase korivas bisra hinun. Right? They are close flesh. They are related to one another. So they're related to one another, and that apparently is a good reason not to marry both women either at the same time or one after the other. But then when it comes to the word zima, we find that the Yonasan ben Uziel and the Targum Unkelos part ways. Start with the Yonasan ben Uziel. He translates the word zima as zenu hu. This act is an act of zenu, or as we would say in Hebrew, znus. It's an act of licentiousness, right? It's particularly licentious for a man to be married both to a woman and to her daughter. Now the truth is, all of what's being described in this parsha is licentious. I mean, that's why it's the Parshas or Arayos. But apparently, according to this translation, there's something particularly disturbing about being married to a woman and her daughter, to the point where the Pasuk says it's znus, it's really licentiousness, it's really a failure of character entirely. Perhaps the reason for that, I mean, it seems from the Pasuk, is because of the two words that come before that. Sha'arohena. They are related to one another. They are closely related. You didn't need the Pasuk to tell you that a mother and a daughter are closely related to one another. You know, we can finally figure that out on our own. Apparently, Sha'arohena is an explanation for why Zimohi. This is considered to be particularly licentious because the two women are related to one another. There's something particularly disturbing or wrong about being married, you know, even in succession to two women who have that close a relationship with one another.
How about the brother? Marrying the brothers?
Oh, so in other words, what? A brother marrying sisters?
No. Talking about
Yibum.
Someone whose husband passed away, and you can marry him. You can marry his brother. You're supposed,
right, the concept of Yibum. Right, and Ochinami. So the truth. Oh, so the truth is the author of the Ksava Kabbalah actually brings in Yibum when he discusses this pasuk. He says the Torah is trying to make the point that although Yibum is a unique situation where it's permissible to marry two people who were otherwise closely related to one another, that's really the exception to the rule. Generally speaking, to have two wives who have a close relationship to one another is very, very disturbing. It's very, very wrong to do that. Yibum is really the exception to the rule because of the desire to carry on the lineage of the brother who passed away. Right? But that's the exception that proves the rule. Yeah.
But if man is attracted to Derech Bia, to the Yibum, mm-hmm.
Right. So, but the point being, Yibum is an exception. Yibum is the exception. You know, in general, you know, to marry two women who are previously related to one another in some way is considered to be unseemly. So this translation of znus, right, zimohi zenuhu, which is the translation of the Yonasan ben Uziel, is also the way the Radak in his Sefer HaShorashim translates the term Zima. He calls it Inyan To'eva Umaisa Ra. It's something particularly disgusting and a terrible thing to do. Rav Sadia Gaon in his Arabic translation of the Chumash also translates Zima in that way. It's licentious. It's a particularly disturbing form of Arayos above and beyond all of the other things that are listed here in the Parsha. You know, which of course are prohibited because of Arayos as well. Why that is something that we'll have to try to understand. In other words, you know, why is this worse than all of the other Arayos that are mentioned off here? But according to the Yonasan ben Uziel, that's the way to translate the Pasuk. Because Sha'arohena, because they are related to one another, Zimahi, it's somehow particularly disgusting. Targum Onkelos has a very different translation of the word Zima. He writes, in translating Zima he, Eitzas Chitin he. It is a plot which is sinful. In other words, the word Zima, as we'll see in a few moments, according to the Targum Onkelos, is related specifically to the idea of thought, or a calculated plot. We find that a version of that word elsewhere in the Torah, when the Torah speaks about Edim Zomimim, so it describes Kasher Zomam Lasos La'achiv, Asisem Lo Kasher Zomam Lasos La'achiv. You know, Kasher Zomam in that context means as the witness, the lying witness, plotted to carry out against his brother, against the person who was the defendant. Zomam has the connotation of a wicked, evil plot. You know, something which is calculated and thought out. Zimahi, says the Targum Onkelos, is related. The word Zima is related to the word Zomam, right? It's the same Shoresh, the way he understands it, the same root. And it means that what's being described over here in this particular one of the Arayos is a sinful plot. It's a very calculated sin, more so, it seems, than the other sins that are described in the Parshas Arayos. Again, so we're stuck with the question, why is that? So Rashi makes a comment over here, which also is on the surface a little bit hard to understand. We'll have to come back to try to understand Rashi. Rashi writes, Zima Eitza. It's a plot. It's a calculation that the person makes. Kitargumo Eitzas Chitin. And Rashi quotes the Targum, right? He says that's the translation of the word Zima. Again, not like the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, not like the Rav Sadia Gaon, not like the Rav Dak, all of whom understand the word Zima to mean znus or licentiousness. Zima has certainly a negative connotation according to Rashi, according to the Targum Onkelos. But whereas the other Mefarshim understand that what makes Zima wrong is the action, there's something wrong about the action, according to Rashi, what makes Zima wrong is something about the thought. There's something about the machshava, the thought involved over here, which is particularly negative. What about the thought is particularly negative? So Rashi adds the following three words. Sheyitzrucha yoatzcha lachto. Because it's your Yetzirah who's advising you to sin over here. It's your Yetzirah that's advising you to sin over here. The Ramban has a comment on this Rashi, where the Ramban raises a question that may be floating through our heads at the very moment. If it's not floating through our heads at the moment, you can always claim that it's floating through our heads at the moment and say, ah, yeah, I was thinking that, just like the Ramban asked. The Ramban quotes the Targum Onkelos and he quotes Rashi, and he writes as follows, V'lo yodati tam loze. I don't know what's behind this comment of Rashi. Rashi says on this pasuk, Sheyitzrucha yoatzcha lachto. Your Yetzirah is enticing, it was advising you to sin. Shekol ho'arayos, gam ho'averos ho'acheros, ha'yetzir yoatzo lachto. Why is this sin different than any other sins? How does a person sin in general? The Yetzirah advises him to sin. That's how sins work, that's how averos happen. So why would the pasuk single out the erva of Isha Uvita, a mother and daughter, and say, Zimahi, the fact that you're marrying this mother and daughter is the Atzas Yetzahara, it's the advice of the Yetzahara, as opposed to what? As opposed to a person who eats treif, that's not the Atzas Yetzahara, a person who's Mechal Shabbos, that's not the Eitz of the Yetzahara. Every time a person sins, it's the Yetzirah which is enticing the person to sin. Why single it out over here that Zimahi is somehow the enticement of the Yetzirah? So the Ramban asked that Kasha and Rashi, and he doesn't give an answer for Rashi. Right? We'll come back in a couple of minutes, we'll try to suggest something for Rashi, but the Ramban says he doesn't understand, you know, how Rashi can give that interpretation of the Targum Onkelos' interpretation of the Pasuk. What, this is unique that the Yetzirah is enticing you to sin? Every time a person sins, the Yetzirah is enticing a person to sin.
Are we saying therefore if a person wants to marry two different women? Two
right.
Women, whatever you like.
Right.
The Yetzirah is not involved in that? Then.
That's permissible.
I know it's permissible.
Yeah.
Is it the same Yetzirah working that?
No, so he doesn't mean, so again, the simple pshat is the Yetzirah is enticing you to sin. In other words, the fact that you're violating this one of the Arayos and marrying a mother and daughter, the fact that you could go ahead and do that Aveira is because of the Yetzirah. So that's the Ramban on Rashi. I mean, that's how sins work. You know, people sin because of the Yetzirah. Why are you saying that this sin is a result of the Yetzirah? Right? He doesn't mean the Yetzirah, the taiva that a person has. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying the desire that a person has to violate the Aveira comes from the Yetzirah. The fact that you married a mother and daughter comes from the Yetzirah. Okay, every sin comes from the Yetzirah. What's unique about this particular one? Yeah.
Could it be that it causes one woman to be more jealous of another in a situation like this than in a normal situation where we have two wives?
Okay, maybe. Let's see. So the Rabban writes as follows. Ulefi daiti, in my opinion, Amar akosuv zima b'isha uvita v'isha v'ima lignus ha'inyon. In my understanding, says the Ramban, again, the Ramban here is working with the Targum Unculus, but just wants to say pshat in the Targum Unculus is different than Rashi. The Targum Unculus says the word zima is connected to machshava. It's connected to thought. Atzas chitin, which, again, even the phrase atzas chitin of the Targum Unculus is one that's subject to different translations. Rashi clearly understands atzas chitin as being the advice of the Yetzer Hara to entice you to sin. The Ramban, as we'll see in a moment, I believe interprets atzas chitin as sinful thoughts. It is sinful thoughts. And what does that mean in this context? So he says, Lomar, the idea that a man could marry a woman and her daughter is particularly disturbing. Why? Ki kishiyishkav im ha'achas shehi ishto yachshov bo acheres bavur kirvosom v'dimyonom. If a man is married to a woman and her daughter, the likelihood is that the woman and her daughter, the mother and daughter, have many points of similarity to one another. Thus, says the Ramban, when the man is with one of the wives, one of the women, his thoughts will naturally wander to think about the other woman. That could be true if he's married to both concurrently. It could also be true if he's married to both at separate times. They're so similar to one another. Again, in non-marital context, people say, oh yeah, spitting image of your father, spitting image of your mother. You remind me so much of this other relative, especially a parent and a child. So that's beautiful. In other contexts, it's beautiful that a parent and child are similar to one another. They remind the person of one another. But in a marital context, there's a halacha that when a man is with his wife, there's only one woman he's supposed to be thinking about, and that's his wife. If he's thinking about any other woman while he's with his wife, so that's a terrible betrayal of the act of intimacy with his wife. So it's so easy to let your thoughts go from a mother to a daughter, from a daughter to a mother, that being married to both women, either in succession or at the same time, says the Ramban, means inevitably you're not going to be able to concentrate on the woman that you're with at the time, and that would be terrible. That would be absolutely terrible. So what's so terrible is v'hinei tia shchiva shteyen lo zima. It means that your machshavos, that your thoughts, are going to be sinful thoughts. So in other words, that's the Ramban says, that's pshat in the last four words of the pasuk. Sha'ara heina, because they are so close to one another, zimahi, inevitably, you're going to have sinful thoughts. In other words, your thoughts are going to wander during the act of intimacy, and almost inevitably, they're going to wander to another woman, even if that other woman is the mother of the daughter of the woman you happen to be with. And since it's such a terrible thing to have your thoughts wander in that particular kind of way, that's why the Torah prohibits this particular type of erva. That's how the Ramban, and the Ramban understands, that's what the Targum Unculus is saying. Right? Because krivon inon, because the women are so close to one another, atzas chitin hi. It's going to be a sinful thought that inevitably is going to creep into the marriage, and the Torah doesn't want sinful thoughts creeping into the marriage. Now, according to the Ramban, the Torah over here, it would seem, is actually revealing the whole concept that when a man is with his wife, his thoughts should not be with another woman. This is the source for that idea, which the Gemara talks about in a description called the B'nai Teish Amidos. It talks about, you know, nine different types of dysfunctional relationships that a man and his wife can have that can produce all kinds of terrible results in terms of the children. But the whole notion that a man's focus should be on his wife, according to the Ramban, it would seem, is really learned out from this pasuk. That's why the Torah prohibits this particular type of erva, of isha uvita, because zimahi, it's going to lead to machshavos, it's going to lead to thoughts which are misplaced and which are going to be improper. That's the Ramban's understanding of the Targum Onkelos.
Why would that be true again with marrying two women who aren't related?
Right, so if they're two different, the truth is, you know, we understand to a greater extent why the Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom says he can't be married to two women at the same time. I guess the Torah doesn't want to prohibit that. I mean, the Torah certainly doesn't prohibit marrying. Even today, we can marry two women in succession, you know, as long as you're not marrying them at the same time. I guess it's not right to say that a man can only be married to one woman and one woman only throughout the entirety of his life. I guess the Torah says, look, if the two women are sufficiently different from one another, okay, a person can have the self-control, you know, to focus on one and not the other. But you have two wives, either together or in succession, who are so similar to one another, you know, even a person is going to try very hard. He's not going to be able to really maintain the kind of focus which is so important, you know, for the marriage itself. That's what Torah seems to be saying, you know, in terms of that. I want to come back to a moment to Rashi, right? So again, the Ramban asked the Kasha on Rashi. He says, I don't understand. Rashi understands, apparently, the statement of the Targum Onkelos that Zimohi at Sas Chitinhi, not in the way the Ramban does. The Ramban understands that Sas Chitinhi as you're going to have sinful thoughts, you're going to have thoughts that are going to wander and not end up in the right place. Rashi, in contrast, understands at Sas Chitinhi is that you will be sinfully seduced or enticed by the Yetzirah, you know, because these women are so close to one another. And ask the Ramban on Rashi, I don't understand, what's the Chiddush? Why is this unique? Every sin in the Torah that a person does is a result of the Yetzirah enticing that person to engage in an Aveira. So why would the Torah come specifically here and say, Zimahi, you know, that it's the advice of the Yetzirah? If we can just add a Kasha onto the Ramban's Kasha on Rashi, what is the relationship between the words Sha'arohena, they are close, and Zimahi, it is the advice of the Yetzirah, according to Rashi's interpretation? Again, so according to the Ramban, we explained what those two phrases mean and why they're connected. Sha'arohena, because the two women are so similar to one another, because they're related, Zimahi, it means that your thoughts are going to wander. But according to Rashi, that Zimahi means, you know, entering into a relationship like this is the Atzas Yetzirah. It's the Yetzirah telling you to do this. So what, if anything, is the relationship to the two words that come before that in the Pasuk? Sha'arohena, that the two women are related to one another. Again, we get that. You know, you didn't need the Torah to come and tell you that a mother and daughter are related to one another. I probably could have figured that out on my own. So what exactly is meant by the word Sha'arohena? I thought that maybe you can suggest in Rashi the following idea. You know, for this is certainly true today to an extent, but it was even more true for much of history. Marriage was not solely about love. Marriage was about protection. You know, this protection that the husband would extend to his wife. That's, you know, the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to marry, you know, your niece. Right? Why is it a mitzvah to marry your niece? You can't find anybody else. Nobody else wants to marry you. You know. So why is it a mitzvah to marry your niece? So it's considered to be an act of chesed to the family. You know, your niece is a family member. You know, she needs someone to marry her, to take care of her, to protect her, to watch over her. So you, as a concerned uncle, are going to step in and you're going to marry her. You know, your niece, to make sure that she's taken care of. That's a, you know, the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to do something like that. It's all based on the idea that a very important component of marriage is protection. So now comes a guy, and he says, I'm a big tzaddik. I'm going to marry this woman, and I love this woman so much, I'm also going to marry her daughter. I want to protect and take care of this woman so much that I want to marry her daughter also. To us, it sounds very strange. I want to marry the woman. I want to marry her daughter also. But if you look at marriage from the point of view of protection, of making sure that somebody is cared for, so the truth is one could describe that act as a tremendous mitzvah, as a tremendously noble act, right? That's either true in the case that the man is marrying both women at the same time. You know, I'm taking care of this woman who I married, and she has a daughter, you know, who also needs protection, needs somebody to watch over her and to take care of her. So you know what? I'll marry both. I'll marry the mother. I'll marry the daughter also. I'll take care of the whole family. That could be a scenario in which the man thinks that he's doing something very noble and wonderful. Or in a situation where he married, let's say, the mother first, and then the mother passes away, and now he wants to marry the daughter. The daughter, Nebuch, is left as a Yesoma. You know, who's going to take care of this daughter? He's going to be the knight in shining armor. He's going to step into the breach. He's going to marry this, this daughter. It could be, you know, again, depending on the situation, it could be that the daughter might be closer in age to he than the mother might be. You know, if there's not a big gap, you know, we're talking about a daughter from a previous marriage that the woman had. So he's going to be gallant, he's going to step into the breach, and he's going to marry this daughter to protect her. His show of love and affection for his deceased first wife manifests itself in wanting to marry her daughter to protect the daughter. So he comes, and he says to himself, you know, I want to marry both of these women in order to do a mitzvah, in order to protect them. Sha'arahena. Precisely because they are close to one another, that's his motivation, a positive motivation, a noble motivation, to want to marry them both, right? Because this way I can extend my protection to both of these women who are related to one another. Comes the Pasuk and says, you think you're doing a mitzvah, but really, zimahi, really, yitzricha yo'atzcha lachto. Really, this doesn't come from a good place. This comes from the atzas chitin, says the onkelos. This is the eitz of the eitz sahara. You're convincing yourself that you're doing a mitzvah because you want to protect them, but really you're doing something which is very unsavory, you know, to bring together a mother and a daughter to be part of the same marriage triangle, you know, so to speak. Why is it so unsavory? So it could be that it goes over to the idea that the Ramban spoke about. It's unsavory because to have two wives who are so similar to one another isn't a good thing. Your machshavas are going to travel from one to another. It could be you could explain it like that according to Rashi as well. But the point that Rashi is making in terms of translating zimahi is that you would think, a person might be inclined to think that this relationship is actually a mitzvah. And comes the Torah and tells you, yitzrucha, no, that's the Atzis Yetzahara, which is telling you that what you think is a mitzvah is in point of, you know, what on the surface you think is a mitzvah, you should realize is actually a tremendous Avera. That's why Rashi singles out this particular Avera with the words Zimahi. Right? The Ramban's Kasha, every Avera is the Atzis Yetzahara. Yeah, okay, but you know, if I'm inclined to eat a cheeseburger, the Yetzer Hara isn't telling me it's a mitzvah to eat the cheeseburger. The Yetzer Hara is telling me, yeah, it's an Avera, but, you know, try it out. What could be so bad, right? Here, it's a unique argument that the Yetzer Hara is making. Your involvement in this Avera is actually a noble thing. It's actually a mitzvah. And it takes a certain amount of pikchus, a certain amount of insight, to be able to take something which the Yetzer Hara presents as a mitzvah and to untangle it and say, wait a minute, no, you said it's a mitzvah. Actually, looking at it a little bit closer, it's a tremendous avera, right? That may be, going back to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, we could understand the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel in a similar light as well. Znuhu, it's something disgusting and depraved. Why is it so disgusting and depraved? Because there's something particularly depraved about an avera that the practitioner of the avera thinks is a mitzvah. If you're going to be an Avarian, at least be honest about the fact that you're an Avarian. You're an Avarian and you think you're a hero, you deserve a pat on the back. Oh, that's already a very, you know, that's a certain madrega of being an Avarian, of being a, you know, a wicked person, the person who thinks that his Avera, what are actually Averos, are in his mind actually mitzvos. If that's the case, so then this is a tremendous musar, again, leaving aside the specific context of the Arayos. A person has to be so, so vigilant in fighting the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara's tactics are not simply to try to portray the Averos as being things which are beneficial from an Olam Hazeh perspective. the smart Yetzahara tries to depict the Averos as being beneficial from an Olam Haba, from a Ruchnius perspective, and you have to be smart enough to try to beat him at his own game. Okay, Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rav Zakodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos, as you